This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. Loved and trusted by more than 1 million teachers, IXL enhances your teaching and takes work off your plate so you can make an even bigger impact on your students. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights. Strengthen daily instruction, close knowledge gaps quickly, and set every student up for success. Want to bring IXL to your school? Learn more at IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. Welcome to the Cyber Traps Podcast. I am Jethro Jones, coming to you from Washington, host of the podcast Transformative Principal and author of the book School X, How to Redesign Your School for the People Right in Front of You. I am a former principal at all levels of K-12 education.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Frederick Lane, an author, attorney, and educational consultant, temporarily based in East Hampton, New York. I'm the author of 10 books, including most recently, Cyber Traps for Educators 2.0, Raising Cyber Ethical Kids, and Cyber Traps for Expecting Moms and Dads. Jethro and I have teamed up to bring timely, entertaining, and useful information to teachers, parents, and others about the risks arising from the use and misuse of digital devices.
Over the coming weeks and months, we'll be talking to some of the world's leading experts from the fields of education, parenting, sociology, and cyber safety. Join us as we look at what it takes to better navigate our increasingly high-tech world. For more information or to donate to our work, please visit centerforcyberethics.org.
The Center for Cyber Ethics is the producer of the Cyber Traps podcast, although it's really just the two of us eating chat. In any case, the Center for Cyber Ethics is an independent, nonpartisan educational institute dedicated to the study and promotion of cyber ethics as a positive social force through research, curricular development, publishing and media, professional training, and public advocacy.
Well, this episode and the next few episodes of the podcast are going to be about our time at the PPI conference in Boise, Idaho. So as we are chatting here, I hope you enjoy it and enjoy the people that we were able to talk with. This was the Professional Practices Institute put on by the National Association of State Directors of Teacher and Educator Certification. And this is a similar conference that Fred and I went to last year in Oklahoma City as well. So hope you enjoy this and the following episodes that are going to be like it. Since we were recording in a public place, there are some times where the background noise gets a little much, but hopefully we've done enough to take care of that and it's not too annoying. And thanks for your patience with that. Okay. So, Paul, welcome. Do you want to start by telling us your name and what you do?
Yeah, sure. My name is Paul Stark, and I am the executive director of the Idaho Education Association, formerly general counsel of the Idaho Education Association.
Okay, and when you became a lawyer, did you want to be in education? Was that intentional, or did it just happen?
When I became a lawyer, I had three young boys, and I just needed to make some money and pay the mortgage. I wanted to be out of an apartment is what my main objective was, But I did land into the lap of a law firm. I just happened to apply at a law firm that did education law, and it's kind of specialized, honestly. Mm-hmm. Not many people really know it, and I was doing the side of the school districts, representing boards and superintendents and principals, and so I got kind of my feet wet there. Then I did a private practice for a number of years. When the former general counsel of the IEA retired, we had got to know each other through various cases when I was representing school districts. Mm-hmm. And when he came to retirement, he called me up and said, hey, would you be interested in applying? And I said, yeah, sure. And because I already had a background in the law, on education law, it was an easy fit and really has been absolutely enjoyable, just a pleasure mm-hmm. to work with educators.
Yeah. Well, I think that everybody I know who's gone into education law from other law has said that something similar, that it's, even though sometimes you're dealing with some pretty tough stuff, it's better and more fulfilling because you feel like you're making a real difference. Is that fair to say?
Oh, totally. Yeah. We were just talking this morning, me and Mike, the communication director, we were talking about how quickly education gets under your skin. It's a beautiful thing, actually, because prior to that, when I was practicing law, I was, I'd have clients and I'd care about them, of course, but this is different. Like, there's a passion about public education.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why. I could probably point to a number of things, but it gets under your skin where it's more than a clock in, clock out job.
Yeah.
This is like something I believe in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And even when you're on the periphery, not in the classroom teaching every day, you still feel that, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think is really cool also. And I appreciate that. So talk about what you're doing with IEA, Idaho Education Association, now, and what you're looking forward to in the future.
Well, I think what we're doing now is, it's no surprise to anybody that Idaho is a very conservative state politically. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise to anybody that education has very unfortunately become very politicized.
Mm-hmm.
So we find ourselves in a unique situation. I kind of feel like it's the tale of two cities. It's both the best of times and the worst of times. The unparalleled attacks on public education coming out of left field and sometimes just like surprising you is a challenge, and certainly teacher burnout. That's mm-hmm. well documented. But it's also the best of times, especially here in Idaho, because we're finding ways to connect with what people would consider conservative red Republicans. And we find that this passion that I just talked about public education, that's not unique to those in the field. There are many, many legislators that feel that same kind of passion. In fact, especially we're very rural in Idaho. We have a lot of rural communities. And as such, as you probably well know, the public high school or the public schools are the meeting place. That's mm-hmm. where we come together. That's where we come together because the football team over the hill is our arch rival.
Yeah.
And in many ways, it's not a preposterous notion to say that public education is what will save America.
Yeah.
Because it is probably one of the last bastions where people can come together, despite political affiliations, despite whatever newscast they choose to listen to. When the home team is playing and the homecoming game is being played, we all actually come together, and that's a beautiful thing. So I think there's a lot of reason to be hopeful.
Yeah, and that's like this old American view that like this. We all rally around our home team and stuff, but that actually still happens. And it's not far-fetched to say that, especially in more rural places. And that matters a lot. And I think if you can get those people together fighting for the same thing, then you're going to have success with whatever you're fighting because you're together. And so the idea then is, how do we make sure that we are really together, that we're not being influenced by those outside sources, and really committing to our values that we have within our community, which when it comes down to it, every parent really has a desire for their own kids to be healthy, successful, and happy. And nobody cares about anybody else's kids. They just care about their own kids. And so how do you help them? And how are you navigating that now with all the things that are going on in the world?
Well, one of the ways we're navigating this is we're trying to create an oasis of rational thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much polarization, if we can create like this oasis where people can go and have rational conversations and have a rational basis to believe in public education, we're trying to create that. It's all the more repugnant when you see the attacks on public education, when you understand truly, as educators do, understand how important that school is to that community.
Mm-hmm.
It's far beyond teaching ABC and 1 + 1 = 2. It's the culture of that community. And that's one of the ways we do that is we really focus on local control. And that's an issue you hear a lot about. But You know, that community is deciding kind of how things should go in that community.
Mm-hmm.
And most, it's interesting, we've done some polling about, especially about some of the more critical issues of public education, and we find no one believes that it's happening in their community.
Right.
But everybody believes it's happening somewhere. Yeah, it has to be happening somewhere. And that's what's the ironic thing is. So the loyalty to the community and the community school is still vibrant.
Yeah.
You know, and so we try to focus on that. From a teachers' union perspective, we also try to bridge gaps. You know, we try to collaborate in large part, and we're very successful in that, both at the state level and at the local level, finding ways to collaborate when perhaps political opinions may differ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, a mantra in our shop is tends to be, you know, we're political, but we're not partisan.
Yeah.
And we're very, very actively political for public education. We want all the support we can to make these public schools great, but you know, it's we're going to bridge the partisan divide that way.
Yeah, not everybody believes that, and not everybody thinks that unions by their nature are that. And so can you talk a little bit more about how you help people see that you're political but not partisan and why that's so important?
And I can't speak for every state, right? This
sure.
is, I'm just speaking for what we do in here in Idaho. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I sometimes when I'm speaking with teachers, I say, you know, your first politics is education.
Mm-hmm.
That's your first politics. Your second politics, be whatever they want. But I don't think, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, every educator wants kids to learn, and they want every kid to learn. You know, they're not willing and wanting to discriminate by all these wedge issues that we see thrown. Every educator, I would dare say, wants to educate every child and thinks every child deserves a proper, good education. And so I think kind of focusing in on those fundamental principles of, you know, every child, regardless of their zip code, deserves a good quality education, that we should have schools that our students deserve, you know, not with crumbling walls and you know, peeling wallpaper, you know. We should have drinking water that's safe to drink. You know, those are the kind of things, like, can you really oppose safe drinking water? Like, who can honestly oppose safe drinking water? There's no neutrality on safe drinking water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's really not. And that's a good example to say this is where we can all agree.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that with the more complex things? And especially the wedges that you're talking about. How do you help people see that we can all get on the same side on this?
Well, I think in large part, some of the wedge issues are, I'll say it, smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the antidote to that kind of hype is transparency.
Yeah.
And so what I would say to those people that worry about, you know, all of these wedge issues that are being thrown out nationally, by the way, it appears to be more of a national campaign. I'd say to them, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
Show up. You know, like actually show up at your local school and come see what's happening. For one, and I'd say that to legislators, I'd say it to anyone. For one, you're going to see the hardworking people and what they're actually doing. And that's administrators, that's classified, that's bus drivers, that's teachers, paraprofessionals. Look and see all the hard work that they're actually doing, and you'll be blown away.
Mm-hmm.
You will change your opinion about public schools. And then come see and look at the curriculum.
Right.
Throughout the state of Idaho, parents have every opportunity to come review curriculum. It's part of the law. And so, like, come and participate. Like, instead of just throwing bricks, why don't you show up and actually see what's actually happening, and then maybe be a part of something. You know, if something doesn't quite suit your fancy, then start having that discussion. You know, talk with the educators, because they're good people. They're honestly very, very good people, and they want the best for kids.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that piece about transparency, because that's something that I've been saying for a long time, that if you aren't happy with what's going on, come and, like, see what's going on. And see if you still feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, then that's a valid concern, because you really don't like it. And let's talk about it and see what we can do. Because if you're not happy with it, I'm sure there's other people who aren't happy with it. And we want to make this the best we can for everybody.
That's right.
And so I had, when I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, we were doing a lot of stuff around personalized learning. And it was very disruptive, because we weren't teaching how things were taught before. And so we were... instead of sending home worksheets and homework, we were having kids do real projects and working in groups and not by themselves and every mix in between. And a lot of parents were like, I don't like this because it's not what I did when I was a kid. It doesn't look like school anymore, you know? And so I said, well, come and talk and let's see what your issue is. And come and see what your child is doing in the classroom and see how you feel about it after you look at it. Mm-hmm. And when I first started teaching, I had parent volunteers in my middle school that came into my middle school classroom. And I had them come in and give me feedback on what they were seeing. And these parents who came in were like, I can't believe what you're doing. This is fantastic. Once they could see, there was no room for complaint. Aww. And I think that is true with almost all things. And I appreciate what you said about it being a national campaign also, that it's not something that people are thinking up themselves or coming to a conclusion on themselves typically. And there are times when teachers say or do something that's not appropriate for a school, like endorsing a particular political candidate or something like that. That's not what teachers are supposed to be doing, but it happens sometimes. And when those things come up, then parents bring it up and we talk to the teacher and we move on.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's that simple. Some of these wedge issues, though, they're driving in really deep. And instead of coming and seeing, people are coming to board meetings complaining and they have an agenda that they're trying to push. And I think your response to transparency is really powerful in a way to instantly negate that negativity.
Yeah, that's right. It's like when my youngest boy, when he no longer was doing long division, and like I'm like, I don't know how to help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And why did they do this? And I'm like frustrated because I can't help them at the kitchen table. But
yeah.
But then guess what? I go talk to the math teacher and they say, no, look, this is how it works. And it actually, long term, for their ability to understand math concepts long term,
yes,
this is a better way to do it. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. You know, now I understand.
Yeah.
It's wonderful actually to be able to work with many individuals legislatively at the school district level when you come and you speak in very rational, reasonable ways. And mm-hmm. When you take the fact that we're a union, right? We're the teachers' union. There's all the stigma and baggage that comes with that. And we have found at times in the past, like legislators are reluctant to even talk to us, you know,
yeah.
Oh, the union, blah, blah, blah. But then once we actually sit at the table with them, all of a sudden we find that they're now starting to email us.
Yeah.
And one in particular, I won't name the name, but one particular very influential legislator, you know, when I first met him, he was very hostile, really hostile. And then a couple legislative sessions ago, he was starting to text me, you know, saying, what do you think about this bill?
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew I'd give him an honest assessment. And that I was rational and reasonable. And I think that's the thing that I think we've done best at the Idaho Education Association. We've shown, look, we're interested in the best for children, the best for students, and best for public education. And that's where we're going to be. And they've come to rely on that. We're mm-hmm. a rational, reasonable voice in this turmoil of political partisan fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is so important, that being that rational, reasonable voice makes such a huge difference. And when you come at this not defensive, but with a listening mm-hmm. ear, it makes a huge difference. Yeah. And, you know, parents have real concerns about their children, and because they're their children, they are very real concerns
yes.
that mean a lot. We have to respect that and recognize that that's a real thing.
Absolutely.
And you can't dismiss what they're saying. You have to hear them and then do your best
yeah.
to help them see what's really going on and that there's not something nefarious. The last thing I want to talk about is the you gave a presentation here at PPI about the ethics committee that you formed in Kimberly School District. And talk about that, your relationship with the superintendent and how that came to be, and just a brief summary of that. You don't have to redo the whole presentation, for sure.
So the superintendent in the Kimberly School District, Luke Schroeder, has become a friend. It didn't start that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would probably admit that he was once a union hater, you know, and he did not see the local union as an asset to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave a few presentations where I said, look, these are the reasons why you might want to have a vibrant, strong local union,
mm-hmm.
which was just like a crazy notion for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he started thinking about it, and then we started having telephone conversations. And what we discovered is that, you know, there were a lot of people that Well, there are some people that gain an advantage by having us fight each other.
Yeah.
The us versus them gives some advantage to some people. Mm-hmm. They want us to continue to fight. And what we said, what we found out is we were on the same page pretty much on every issue. We wanted exactly the same thing. The union and he as an administrator, we wanted the same thing. And I remember, and I think I mentioned this in the presentation, I remember it was a rainy day, and Luke and I was on my way into work, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I remember pulling over, and I remember the windshield wipers going, and I remember there was this moment, and I think he said it, or I said it, I can't remember, but one of us said, we can do better. Mm. We can do better than what we're doing now, can't we? And it's like, why don't we come together and do better? We already agree on so very much. Why are we stuck in this us versus them rut?
Yeah.
And we kind of collectively decided to just say, we're not going to play that game anymore. We're not doing that anymore. We're going to do something different. And what do you see spring out of that is morale, you know, like staff morale goes through mm-hmm. the roof. The productivity of his employees is better. Discipline goes down. And then this idea of the ethics committee kind of came up as we thought, you know, with all these potential ethic violations by educators, like, why aren't we talking about this more? And it was mostly Luke's idea, I think, and I supported him, but he formed this committee in his district made up of educators, and he was the only administrator that would be in the room. No principals at all would be sitting in the room. Yeah. And they would just talk about ethics issues, and they would talk about how it's important to vet these things and to do a kind of a gut check with your colleagues when something questionable comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, again, what the educators in his building, I dare would say, is that we feel included, we feel valued, we feel listened to, and we see that Luke wants us here and wants to make us the best we can be. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it blossoms from there,
yeah.
Jethro. I mean, it just goes nuts of all the potential things when we stop just fighting each other. And we start like rowing in the same direction. It's a beautiful thing to see it happen now, and it's happened other places, but there's still loads of work to do.
Yeah, there is. There's always going to be that work because people change and come and go. And even though his group now are, very tight knit and understand that like this is something that matters and we can talk openly about these things. Someone else is going to come in without that experience. Yeah. And it just shows that it has to keep on going, that you can't just do a one and done and then think that it's all over, because that's not going to work.
Yeah. I think I could say it this way. Trust is a very delicate thing.
Yeah.
It's so much easier, and it's easier just to fight each other, to distrust, to let your mind get filled with hateful concepts and conspiracy theories. It's such a harder, yet a higher road to say, I'm going to choose to trust.
Yeah.
But it's a delicate thing. Mm-hmm. And you have to always be mindful of that trust. You always have to build upon that trust. And you always have to really view every decision and every action through that lens of what is this going to do with the integrity of you as a principal or you mm-hmm. as a local union president. How are my actions going to roll? And
yeah.
If we're mindful though, I think we can maintain that. And that's mm-hmm. where beautiful things happen. And,
yeah.
And I'm not kidding. I mean, just amazing, very cool things can happen in education. That's the best of the two, Tale of Two Cities,
yeah.
is that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And trust is so important and something that we think you just happens naturally or doesn't happen naturally. And the reality is that you can do a lot to influence that and make it
yeah.
exist or not exist. And, you know, I think having the conversations like Luke is having with his staff about ethics situations and what that means and what that looks like goes a long way to doing just that. So my last question for yeah. you today is, what is one thing that a leader can do to this week to be a transformative leader like you?
If I had just a random building principal, superintendent, or local president here sitting with me, I would say take a moment, take a deep breath, and stand down just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And come to a place where maybe you could admit your mistakes, come to a place where you could be a little bit vulnerable. If it was a principal, I'd say approach your local president and come in a way that's you know, humble and not like, this is my turf, this is my shop, yeah. You know, but come to a local president and say, hey, look, what you want and what I want are probably the same thing. Let's find a way to work together. We can work this out.
Yeah.
And if I need to change as a principal, I'm willing to make those changes because I believe in the better common good. And I you know, I'm also going to need you to change a little bit. But I think if we both can bend just a little bit, I think mm-hmm. we can make the staff happy. We can make collective bargaining smoother mm-hmm. than it ever has been. And we're going to see better student outcomes. Our parents are going to be happier. And this is going to be a long, you know, for a principal, you won't have the turnover. I know that's a big issue right now. You know, because money is a big factor, but the studies show that feeling valued in the workplace is more of a factor for longevity than money is.
Yeah.
So I would say take a deep breath, stand down just a little bit, and try to find common ground. Try to accentuate what you have in common and try to de-emphasize the things that separate you.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant advice. And I was just talking to Byron Darnell, who's the Associate Commissioner of Education in Kentucky, about recruitment and retainment. How do we keep teachers? And he said similar things to what you just said. And I think it's so important that we recognize that it's more than just about how much people are getting paid. And it's about people feeling like they belong, that what they're doing matters, and that it's fulfilling their purpose for their life. So, Paul, appreciate you being here. Thanks so much for your time. This was a great conversation.
It's been a pleasure, Jethro. Thank you.
Do you want to save time on prep work, increase student achievement for all of your students, reliably meet Tier 1 standards? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/B to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve these goals. That's IXL.com/BE.